You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, baby. What's going on, everybody? Second Half Sports, it's your host, Nubar Akparian. And as always, Cameron's not here. It's a solo episode today. It's going to be a little bit shorter than usual. Cameron's doing a lot of big boy stuff. He's got a lot of work stuff going on. Or maybe he just doesn't want to see me. I'm not entirely sure. It's been a while since we've done a solo episode. I can't remember the last time that we actually published one. I know I recorded one. I believe I recorded 2 weeks of solo episodes at one point. But they were just really, really bad. So they never ended up getting pushed live. I'm sure Cameron's done one. He's a little bit more comfortable talking solo. The boy does talk to himself a lot, so it makes sense. Today's episode, episode 52, comes after a one-week hiatus. Last week, Cameron was also very busy, and we didn't end up recording a solo episode because I, too, was also very busy. But this week, I have allotted some time to do this, and so here it is. I didn't want to let you guys off with 2 weeks of no Second Half Sports. So today's going to be a little bit quicker of an episode, a little bit more hard-hitting, straight to the point. But as always, before we start into that, we got to talk about what we've been up to. And I have spent some time with Cameron, so I kind of know what he's been up to. But on Saturday, we actually went to the Mariner game, Mariners versus the Houston Astros, and the M's ended up winning 6-0. It was a really fun game, really fucking cold. We were up, I think, in like the 200 level, center field, like right underneath the giant scoreboard, like the Jumbotron. So it was nice. The top was over it, luckily. The rain wasn't coming down on us, but it was really cold. Fun game. Honestly, like the entire time I was kind of sitting there and I was like, well, you know, this is nice. Like the M's are up 6-0. There was a home run. There was some action, but there wasn't a lot of back and forth with the actual Astros and the Mariners. The Mariners just kind of had the foot on the gas pedal the entire time. But yeah, fun game. I mean, you get to spend it with your friends. We got there. We left pretty early on in the morning, got there, got some good food. We actually ended up rolling up on this like record DVD bookstore right by T-Mobile Park. So we ended up going in there. I bought a new vinyl. I bought Damn on vinyl. I know Cameron bought some Mac Miller on vinyl. Jonah bought some J. Cole. Eric ended up buying something. I can't remember what Eric ended up buying, but he got something too. Oh, Portlandia, I think, on DVD. So, yeah, we all ended up finding some good stuff. We got some drinks, had a good time, and then headed over to the game. That was a good way to spend a little Saturday night. And then the shitty thing was we had to drive back. So I had to drive back in the pouring rain as I was exhausted. We were all exhausted. We finally got back at around 1 o'clock in the morning, had a good sleep. And then the following day, I ended up doing nothing. It was honestly pretty bad. But I mean, hey, good time all in all. I had some family come in this weekend, so I got to see them. Ended up doing Murph on Memorial Day, which was really fun. I've talked about it on the podcast for people who don't know what Murph is. It's a hero workout. It's essentially was created in honor of Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who died serving the United States of America. He was in the Army. Google him, really important guy, really good stuff. But Murph, the workout is a 1 mile run into 100 pull-ups, into 200 push-ups, into 300 air squats. And then to wrap it off, you have to do another mile run. And you have to be wearing a 20-pound weight vest. That's kind of how the workout has been designed. I did not end up doing a weight vest. I've been coming off a knee injury for the past week. The last time when we went and played basketball together, I actually ended up slipping on the outdoor court because it was so dusty. And I banged my knee on the ground. And my knee was super bruised up, super swollen, hadn't worked out in about a week. And then Murph came around. I was like, well, I'm not going to miss this. I missed it last year. Ended up going. Knee felt fine. Finished in like 46 minutes. It was a good time. It was a good time. You know, the phrase is, you don't have to do it. You get to do it. So tons of people from the gym were there. Just get to spend a good Monday morning, Monday afternoon with some cool people, having some fun, having some fitness. And yeah, going on with our days. So that was Monday. Ended up coming back, you know, just enjoying my time. So now we're middle of the week. We're leading on into a lot of really fun sports. I mean, we got the NBA Finals coming up. Today we're going to be talking about some Formula One news that happened, some NFL news, just as a little bit of an auxiliary thing. But a lot of really, really fun stuff going on. And yeah, super excited. So let's just dive right into it. And you know what? We're just going to lump this into news around the leagues because Johnny Boy has not yet made an intro for this. So take it away, Johnny Boy.
News around the leagues.
All right. Talking about news around the leagues, we got to talk about Formula One. Formula One, we didn't talk about it last week, obviously, because we didn't have an episode, but we have two races to kind of talk over. The first one being the Pirelli Spanish Grand Prix, and the second one being the Monaco Grand Prix that just happened this past weekend. So we'll start off with the Pirelli Grand Prix. Max Verstappen actually ended up winning. Charles Leclerc, who was sitting pole to start the race, actually retired, and he had a pretty comfortable lead. And, you know, it was just unfortunate. I think it was something to do with either his brakes or something actually ended up breaking off during the race, which is unfortunate because he was looking like he was going to take P1 the entire race. But Max Verstappen ends up coming through and taking P1. Sergio Perez ended up taking second place to secure Red Bull's second 1-2 of the season, and George Russell finished third for Mercedes. And you know, he was in a really good race, a really tight race with Max Verstappen during the actual Grand Prix itself. So yeah, Verstappen takes one, Sergio Perez takes two, and George Russell ends up taking third. Lewis Hamilton still continues to struggle a little bit. It's interesting. A lot of narratives are coming out talking about like the car is just, you know, different for him, and there's some stuff that they got to work on. And Mercedes has been coming out and saying, you know, about all the different frustrations that they've been experiencing as well. So it's interesting to see him kind of struggling. But it's a long season. I don't believe they're even a third of the way done with the season yet. Obviously, they haven't had the summer break yet. So something to monitor. Maybe he comes back stronger. I mean, he has the capability to do so. It's just, I think now it's all dependent on the car a little bit. And my boy Daniel Ricciardo didn't end up doing anything. So, man, that sucks. I mean, I have not been a fan of the sport for long. I just got into it. And to find an athlete and to find a driver that you really enjoy, like I really enjoy Daniel Ricciardo. I think he's a funny, funny dude. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to root for that guy. Only to realize that he is not producing the way that you thought that he would be producing, and not just yourself, but everybody else. It's pretty rough tumble way of joining a sport. So maybe better days are to come for Daniel Ricciardo, who knows? But it certainly wasn't at the Monaco Grand Prix, which happened this past Sunday. And the Monaco Grand Prix, man, this was a very, very interesting race, and a lot of heartbreak, a lot of intrigue. It was very entertaining. I unfortunately didn't get to watch it live because it was at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had just gotten back from the Mariner game, as I said, the night before at like 1 a.m., so I was not waking up to watch this. But a quick little recap. So Red Bull Sergio Perez ended up taking the checkered flag. And like I said, it was super, super eventful. And, you know, him taking P1 actually keeps his respective world championship hopes alive here for a little while. And, you know, in this race, it was really delayed. Like, there was a lot. The start was delayed due to heavy rainfall. There was two red flags due to, like, the wet weather. One of them was involving a huge crash that actually ended up happening to Mick Schumacher, driver for Haas. His car actually ended up splitting in half. So pretty scary stuff. I believe he was okay coming out of it, so that's good. But yeah, his car completely split in half. But Sergio Perez, he drove a perfect race. He took the top spot, got 25 well-deserved points. The big sort of conversation piece about this race was Charles Leclerc. And obviously, it's in Monaco. It's in Italy. Charles Leclerc is Italian. There's a lot of sentimental value here. It's his race, home race. And the entire time, he was racing pretty phenomenally. And there was a big issue here in that if you didn't watch it, basically at one point in the race, I mean, Charles Leclerc is flying, right? Like, it's wet conditions. He's doing well. He's staying in it. I believe he was P1 for a majority of this race. And then it got to a point where Carlos Sainz, the other Ferrari driver, actually pitted, right? And they wanted to take him off his tires into the slicks, or into the tires that can actually withstand the rain. So he pits, and as they're doing that, the guy on the comms for Ferrari tells Charles Leclerc to box, right? And to box meaning to pit. So he tells Charles box, 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 box. Charles turns into the pit lane. And as soon as he turns into the pit lane, the actual comms guy tells him to not box, right? But it's already too late. Now he's stuck behind Carlos Sainz as he's waiting for him to get his tires replaced so that he can pull up and get his tires replaced, right? So it's immediately costing him position. And Sergio Perez, that's when he kind of undercut Charles Leclerc before he boxed, took P1, and never really looked back. So it's a big issue here, especially because they are asking Charles Leclerc during the race, like, how does he feel on the tires? And he says, yes, he needs to change into his different tires, but not now, later. And to be a racer, to be a driver, and to say that, and to understand, like, you know, maybe they, you know, they have a feel of the car, but really it comes down to what the engineers are saying, what the comms guys are saying, like, hey, you need to replace your tires now. But there's also a little bit of confidence that you have to have in your driver. And for Charles Leclerc to say, hey, I don't need to change my tires now, we'll change them later. And for the comms guy to say, you know, box now, only to lead to a stacked box with signs there and Charles Leclerc not being able to get in and get out of the pit lane, it's just, it's a mess. And you hate to see it because Ferrari's been having a lot of weird issues lately. I mean, with Charles Leclerc having to retire last race, with that sort of like situation that was completely out of his control with his car essentially breaking down on him, to now something that's, again, not in his control. It was his comms guy telling him to box when Sainz was still in there. It's just really, really unfortunate. And Charles Leclerc had a lot to say on the radios. He said he was not let down by what happened, but he did criticize his team for the wrong calls. And he says sometimes mistakes can happen, but there has been too many mistakes today overall. And it's true. It really is. He continued on to say, obviously, in these conditions, you rely a little bit on what the team can see because you don't see what the others are doing with intermediates, with dry tires. I've been asked questions about whether I wanted to go from the intermediates to the slicks, and I said yes, but not now. It'll be a little bit later on in the race. I don't understand what made us change our mind and go on to these intermediates. I got undercut and then got stuck behind Carlos. There have been a lot of mistakes. We can't afford to do that. And yeah, I mean, he, as soon as he got out of the pit lane, he was fourth, right? And that's just like, it's already so difficult to kind of gain ground, right? Like, Monaco is a pretty tough race, but especially in the wet conditions and especially for having taken P1 the majority of the race, only to have this sort of stupid mistake happen and you lose three spots. Super, super unfortunate, but I mean, hey, you got to give it up to Sergio Perez for taking P1. That's good points for Red Bull. That's what they needed. Max Verstappen ended up taking first last week, so to see Sergio Perez take the checkered flag this week, you like to see that. Unfortunate again for Charles Leclerc. I'm sure he'll bounce back, but Ferrari really needs to tighten up these issues because there's been a lot of them lately, and it's a very Ferrari thing to do. And I haven't even been watching the sport long enough, and I already know that's a very Ferrari thing to do. So something to monitor. But up next, our next Grand Prix is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and that's Sunday, June 12th at 4 a.m. So I know all of you guys would be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tuning in on ESPN to watch the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. And we'll have coverage on that as well. I know I'm sure shit not waking up that early to watch it, but I will watch the highlights. So if there's anything that you could take from a second half sports podcast is if we're not watching it live, we're at least watching the highlights, and we got you covered. So that's news around the leagues. That's Formula One. We swear we're going to have Johnny Boy create a little intro for that. He's been working hard, you know, Johnny Boy. He's here on every single recording. Cameron might not be here, but Johnny Boy is. And really, I should have had Johnny Boy co-host this show with me, but you're just going to be listening to my sultry voice for the next few topics. So now moving on from news around the leagues, we're going to be touching on some
NFL news.
All right, some quick hitters when talking about some NFL news. A few interesting ones, a few rumors, and one just really big head scratcher. It makes no real sense. But going on into NFL news, first and foremost, Jadeveon Clowney ends up re-signing with the Browns. You know, he said he had interest in coming back to the Browns, so Jadeveon Clowney goes back to the Browns. We'll see how that team functions. I'm still not happy with the Browns. I don't really like to talk about the Browns, especially following all that Deshaun Watson nonsense and the Baker Mayfield nonsense. It's just that to me, the Browns are what Ben Simmons is to Cameron, right? Like, Cameron hates talking about Ben Simmons. He just doesn't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the Browns. And so we're not going to touch upon it any further. Up next, Jimmy Garoppolo actually came out saying he's okay with being traded anywhere. Yeah, we've talked about that. No shit. It's interesting that he says that, though. I think there's a lot of implications there, especially because what we talked about a good handful of episodes ago was that there was this rumor going around that people in the 49ers organization were underwhelmed by Trey Lance, right? And not too confident in his abilities, and what they're seeing from him is not really like eliciting that much confidence. So it's interesting that Jimmy G is actually coming out and saying he's okay being traded anywhere. It seems like it's a little bit of a strong arm to the 49ers organization, like, hey, go ahead, trade me away. Like, there's people that are interested in me. If you're not going to have me be the starter, or if you're just going to keep coming out and saying, you know, Trey Lance is the starter, or Trey Lance is the guy, but we don't have that much confidence in him right now. I think this is an opportunity for Jimmy G to be like, all right, whatever, trade me away. Other people see value in me. And if you're not going to give me that same value back, then I'm going to leave. And I think that's something that we've talked about, right? Like, he's a good quarterback. He's very serviceable. He knows what to do. And Cameron's even gone to lengths to say, like, he would want Jimmy G as his quarterback right now instead of Drew Locke. And he's a Seattle Seahawks fan, right? So, he's definitely good. He's definitely going to get signed. If he doesn't stay with the Niners, somebody else is going to for sure probably trade for him. Maybe the Panthers, maybe somebody else, but something to monitor there. This is a little bit interesting. So rumors about Deontay Johnson have been kind of circling around the league a little bit, saying that he's unhappy with his contract situation. He's missed OTAs. He's denied those reports of being unhappy. But this is something that like people have seen throughout, right? Like Lamar Jackson, I'm pretty sure, missed portions of his OTAs, and people are like, oh, is Lamar Jackson unhappy with the Ravens? And he comes out and he's like, no, I'm not unhappy with the Ravens. You know, I'm just skipping this portion or whatever. So I'm not really hard pressed to believe a lot of this stuff when people skip OTAs and people skip portions of training camp. Like, if they're missing an entirety of training camp, or if they're missing an entirety of the offseason, that's one thing. Like when Le'Veon Bell held out for his contract, right? But to be just missing one like OTA, I don't know. I don't really buy it. I don't think he's unhappy with his contract negotiation or his contract situation, especially because he came out and said it. So something to monitor there. But this next one's a real head scratcher. David Njoku, tight end for the Cleveland Browns, signs a $56.8 million 4-year extension. Hey, I'll tell you what. The only highlight I remember of David Njoku is when he broke his wrist. That's the only thing I remember. And that's no dig on David Njoku. He's in the NFL. He's a big dude. I'm not in the NFL. I can't really talk. But at the same time, to sign a $56.8 million 4-year extension with the guy, that's a little weird, especially because you have Austin Hooper like on your roster, and Austin Hooper was the highest paid tight end at one point, I'm pretty sure. So it's really interesting to have David Njoku sign this 4-year extension. Like, it doesn't really make sense. I don't really know what the Browns are doing. Again, I don't like talking about the Browns, but yeah, super weird, right? Like, it's not something that I would expect to have come out recently, let alone like even a while ago. Like, I believe I don't know. I'm hard pressed. I'm flabbergasted, as you can tell. I don't really have much more to say about this, but wow. So that's it for NFL news. Like I said, not much to talk about there. We are in the offseason. We're going to have more information coming out, obviously, as training camp progresses, and we'll have more conversations about. We're getting into eventually some fantasy football sports talk here. I mean, the season's going to start in like 3-4 months, so super excited about fantasy football. We're going to have all that coverage coming to you live, but as of now, not much to talk about. So, Johnny Boy, I think it's time we kick it into
NBA news.
Alrighty, NBA news, the meat and potatoes of the episode. Obviously, a lot has happened since 2 weeks ago. We are now going into the NBA Finals. No spoilers as to who that is until we actually start talking about it. But a few little ticky-tack news that we need to cover. The Los Angeles Lakers actually ended up hiring Darvin Ham, former Bucks assistant coach, to their head coaching role. It's interesting. Obviously, I didn't enjoy this whole process, and I've made that known. And so Darvin Ham, this is his first actual full head coaching position in his career. He spent some time with the Atlanta Hawks, and then I think he joined Mike Budenholzer on the Bucks from 2018, I want to say, up until now. He's obviously won a championship with the Bucks last year. So it's interesting. I mean, obviously a lot of Lakers players like LeBron James came out and praised this signing. They're going to be doing that regardless, I feel like, unless it's like a really, really shitty head coach that everybody knows is a really shitty head coach. They're not just going to come out publicly and be like, oh, why the fuck did we sign this guy? But it's going to be interesting. I mean, from what I've read, he commandeers a lot of respect and a lot of locker room presence, especially with the Bucks and with these other teams. So they're essentially bringing him in to sort of manage these personalities, right? And the biggest personality being Russell Westbrook. And the Lakers are planning on keeping Russ, which is unfortunate. But a lot of teams aren't really wanting to walk away with Russ in a trade. They want like a first round pick. They want other picks. They want other compensation other than Russell Westbrook. And you know, that makes sense. He's not great. And it's really unfortunate. It sucks. It really sucks. And I hate saying this because I understand the type of talent that Russ is, right? Like, he broke the triple-double record. He put teams on his back. He was the most athletic point guard of our generation. Like, he was, you know, Derrick Rose, had Derrick Rose not had the injuries, it felt like. And this like fall off is really unfortunate, right? But it happens to everybody, and at different speeds, sure. But he's past his prime, and it's just unfortunate to see a caliber player like Russ playing at this level. And he's had flashes, don't get me wrong. Like, he's had bouts of being really good, and he's had a lot of bouts of being really, really bad, and it just didn't work. And we talked about it when it first signed. I wish they didn't do it. They had an option of getting Buddy Hield. They had options of getting other players that weren't Russ, and then they ended up trading for Russ. They gave up Alex Caruso. Like, the Lakers have made a lot of bonehead decisions, and I really hope Darvin Ham can make something with this team, because I think there is potential there. Like, there's always potential when it comes to a star player such as Russ, such as Carmelo Anthony, right? But the Lakers were just so injury ridden, so much drama during the season, so much garbage play, that I'm not excited for it. And we're going to find out next season. But yeah, hopefully Darvin Ham can make something happen. He's our head coach now. There's no going back. I guess they could go back, but they won't. So something to monitor. I don't particularly have high hopes, but obviously post-draft, post off season, once we get some more information, and I hope the NBA off season is as crazy as the NFL off season was. But after we do all that, then we'll have some more in-depth predictions as to what we think is going to happen next year, especially with our respective teams. Cameron being the Trailblazer fan he is, and me being the Lakers fan that I am. We'll see. So, moving on, our last bit of information before we touch upon the NBA Finals, CJ McCollum. Actually ended up signing an analyst deal with ESPN. So he's now going to be an analyst. And it's pretty interesting to see these NBA players taking this route. Draymond Green, obviously being the most notorious one, having done this season while he was injured, especially being like help covering some analyst positions for ESPN. But CJ is going to be starting his tenure with that position. He's going to be covering the 2022 finals. So if you tune in for the finals, you're probably going to be hearing CJ talk. It's pretty interesting. I wonder why ESPN is doing this, especially with NBA players that are currently in season or like currently playing. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if they're just running out of personnel or if they just want to be kind of transitioning into this player-run organization, especially when, I mean, they're the subject matter experts, right? Like, they're both on the front lines and looking at it behind the scenes. So I can understand why they're doing this, but just really interesting. Like, I wonder what the actual reasoning behind it is. But CJ McCollum is going to be signing on to do this analyst thing. That's exciting. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I hope it's really good. I like CJ, so I'm sure Cameron's pretty stoked about that too. But something to watch. All righty. Now moving into the finals. As I haven't mentioned yet, now going on as spoilers. So if you don't want to know who's in the finals, obviously, I mean, I don't know why you're listening to this, but it is the Golden State Warriors versus the Boston Celtics. And I don't know how to feel about it. Obviously, my hot take about the Mavericks and the Warriors didn't really work out. I told Cameron that that was a purely emotional take. And yeah, the Mavs didn't do jack shit against the Warriors. The Warriors ended up winning. And so now here we are. But we got a lot of interesting storylines going into it. I think the consensus is that the Warriors are going to win. I'm going to say it right now. I think the Warriors win in six. I have a feeling Cameron might take the Celtics on this one, but I'm going to say Warriors in six. And just a little talking points on each side here. So starting off with the Warriors, obviously they have a better offense, right? And maybe not to the same degree as like, oh, standard basketball, like their offense runs better than the Boston Celtics, but I think they just have a lot more firepower, right? Like, obviously, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are no-brainers, right? Like, they're the Splash Brothers for a reason. They can score 40 at will Truly, they truly can. But then you have obviously Jordan Poole, you have Andrew Wiggins, you have Draymond, who is kind of in like this weird slump. But you have all these guys around them that have the ability to go off and have the ability to contribute, right? So I think they're essentially the better offensive team. The Warriors also have more experience. I mean, in the last 8 years, I believe this is their like sixth run at the finals, or maybe this is their eighth run at the finals. Truly, I don't know. This is the last time that they've been to the finals in the last 3 years, right? So they have tons and tons of experience, a lot more than the Celtics, that's for sure. Now, another big one, and this is one positive for the Warriors and one really big negative on the Celtics, is they've just had more time off. The Celtics have coming off two back-to-back series, and I'm pretty sure they played every other day since like May 7th. That was the stat I saw earlier today. So to be playing basketball every other day for almost a full month, not have any time off, these like 3-4 days that they've had off before the finals are really going to come into play. They need to get rested. They need to get these injuries sorted because they have been dealing with injuries. And that leads to our next point. The Warriors have had less injuries than the Celtics, which is pretty astonishing because the Warriors really haven't played fully healthy all season. Like Klay Thompson was injured for a good half of the season. Draymond had some injuries. Gary Payton was injured early on with the Memphis series. Now he might be coming back, but they still have less injuries than the Celtics. I mean, Marcus Smart's been banged up. A few others have been banged up with like lingering injuries, maybe ones that aren't taking them out of playing time, but ones that are actually like hampering their abilities on the court, right? So the Warriors have less injuries overall, but we'll see what happens if they could capitalize on that. Now moving on to the Celtics, because we do have to give them some due diligence and some credit there, even though I am a Lakers fan and I absolutely hate talking about the Boston Celtics. The Celtics, I think, have a better defense. They have a better defense. They're hungrier. I think they have more to prove, right? They're the younger team, and they're pretty battle-tested. Like, they beat the Nets. They beat the Bucks. Like, they beat the Heat. They're beating a lot of really good teams this season, and a lot of times when we've talked about it, I was like, oh, I don't think that they're going to be able to do it, right? Like, you could go back and you can watch the episodes where I was like, I think I had them winning against the Nets initially, but then I had the Bucks beating them. I had the Heat beating them, and clearly, you know, both didn't end up happening. But they both went to Game Sevens, and they came out on top. So they're battle tested. They're hungry. They're a young, up and coming team, and it's pretty interesting. I was reading some like just news about this, and I was trying to see what other sort of professionals were thinking about this series as a whole. Looking at some ESPN analysts, they actually said, I think there was like 20 people that they asked, 15 of them chose the Golden State Warriors to win, 5 of them chose the Boston Celtics to win, which I think is pretty accurate. I think the Warriors are going to win, like I said, but it's interesting that some of the professionals are also siding with the Celtics. And another interesting thing that I saw was, this is the first time in these sort of postseason that the Warriors are going to be playing a really switch heavy team. And if you watch the Celtics play, after every single screen, they're almost always switching, like almost always switching. And that's kind of where their defense lies. And that's why they're such good defensively, is they have these abilities to switch off of players and to shut down other players, right? And a lot of teams, like the Warriors played the Nuggets, the Warriors played the Mavericks, the Warriors played the Grizzlies, not really switch heavy teams to the same degree that the Celtics are. And that's a lot of times where they would punish these teams, is they would get a switch and obviously Curry would cook on them, or, you know, they'd kick it down low. Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, like they all had the ability to score off these switches because the other team wasn't sort of, you know, making anything happen to stop their offense. But I think the Celtics have that defining trait against the Warriors in that, yeah, you could go ahead and you know, do screens all day long, but they're going to switch off. They're going to find ways to isolate that offensive player, kind of lock it down. And it's going to be interesting to see. And Cameron's mentioned this a bunch of times. Marcus Smart is Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. He's on the Celtics as well. They're a good defensive team. Good defense beats great offense. So, or whatever the saying is. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. As I said, I think that the Warriors are going to take it all. I think I said six. I'll say six now. Warriors are going to take it in six. But at the time that you're listening to this podcast, the finals will be today on June 2nd. So make sure you tune in. I believe it's June 2nd. You know what? Truthfully, my days have all been sort of bleeding together. Yes, it is. It is June 2nd. I just double checked it. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Go ahead, tune in. It's gonna be a good. It's gonna be a good finals. But I think I'm sort of taking the route that Charles Barkley said live on air, where he doesn't care who's in the finals. It could be the Mavs. It could be the Warriors. It could be the Celtics. It could be the Heat. He just wants this all to be done so he can go and play some golf. And wiser words have never been said. I'm in the same boat there. I don't really have stake in these teams. I haven't had stake in a lot of these teams going through the playoffs, so it's just kind of fun for me to watch. You get to kind of pull back a little bit and just kind of kick your feet back and watch this for what it is, and being a good sport and being the sport that you love or that I personally love. So hopefully it's entertaining. Hopefully it's not a sweep. The Celtics, like I said, have been coming off two back-to-back game seven, so maybe they can do that as well. Put one for the records books, but I think the Warriors are going to take it all. And we're just looking forward to next season. So that's it for NBA news. That's it for our episode, essentially. Like I said, quick little episode today. I just wanted something out there so you guys can have to listen to on your commute or when you're bored. But before we end it, we haven't done this segment in a while. I think it's been slightly overlooked, so it's time to bring it back. And I know it's Cameron's favorite segment, but he's not here today, so I get to enjoy it all by myself. The What Were You Thinking Award winner of the week, and you know what? I'm just going to say it. The What Were You Thinking Award winner of the week goes to the Cleveland Browns for signing David Njoku on that four-year, $56.8 million contract extension. Wow! Makes no sense. I don't know what they're going to get from this. Hell, if David Njoku ends up becoming an MVP caliber player this season, shit, I might just pay off that whole $56 million contract of his, but I highly doubt it. So the What Were You Thinking Award winner of the week, congratulations, Cleveland Browns, you played yourself. And that's our episode. So next week we'll be back to our full star-studded cast of Cameron and I. We'll be back to a full slate of things to talk about. And as always, follow us on Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod. Follow us where you listen to all your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave us a review. Leave us a comment. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Leave us a rating. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your uncle, tell your aunt, tell your dog. Tell everybody screaming from the rooftops. We really appreciate everybody listening on to the show. I mean, it's really mind-blowing to seeing our numbers every single week, week in and week out, just growing and changing, and everybody listening in from all over the world, Africa, the UK, South America, I mean, shit, Alaska. I don't know anybody in Alaska. Shout out Alaska people listening to this. And yeah, super fun, super awesome to see. We thank you guys all so much for your love and support. We've been getting a lot of good feedback on our episodes. We got a lot of fun stuff planned in the future, a lot of different properties that we're going to be sort of going on into. Hopefully we'll have some sponsors coming at you live in a little bit. But yeah, that's our show today, episode 52. Super excited to be back. Catch you guys all next week for episode 50C. Man, you know, you get to the entire episode, you don't really screw up, and then it comes down to the final few seconds. Catch you next week on episode 53. Drive safe.
Gotta love it, baby.
Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your second half sports news and updates.